stand by. We are about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Tivoli Talk, New Playbook, IBM, Tivoli Service Request and Asset Management Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Tom Davis. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Angelina. Well, welcome and good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone on this call and the audience that will hear this in its recorded form. My name is Tom Davis, and I have responsibility for worldwide Maximo channel development with business partners, which are on this call, as well as our channel sales teams and other IBM sales folks. Today, we're going to talk about how IBM continues to deliver on its service management strategy and the promise we've made to the marketplace to fulfill on that. What you're seeing today is what we've worked in the IT asset management software space that we acquired from MRO Software just last year. And it's coming to fruition inside of Tivoli's service management framework. So you'll see that today. Here's what we'll cover. I'll take you through our view on service management. Then my colleagues from IBM's Tivoli software team will take you through how two specific products running on a unified Tivoli service management platform bring a compelling solution to the market that you should be able to get your clients excited about and differentiate against competition. We'll talk about Tivoli Asset Management for IT. Some of you knew this as ITAM. Gabby Zeiderveld, is the market manager for that product who will take you through this. Then we'll talk about Service Request Manager. Some of you knew that as Service Desk. Norm Peterson is the market manager for SRM and will handle that area. Then Fran Polinek will come on and talk about how we've packaged up this solution through a set of deliverables inside of a playbook that she'll talk you through and invite you to look at the Tivoli Knowledge Center to browse more and hopefully utilize and solicit any feedback you might have either here or offline today. So let's get started. If you can go to the next page, please. Thank you. Page 3, IBM Service Management. Things aren't the way they used to be when some of the business was automated and some wasn't, and then we started to get almost all the business automated. Now it's about technology enabling the business to do new and innovative things that in some cases they would have never dreamed of. You can think about many companies that have exploited technology in a very positive way, and some where the technology couldn't keep up with the business model for various reasons, be it the team that was implementing it, the technology being ahead of its time. Those kind of things can slow things down. But let's look at a few examples. One is UPS. I think we're all familiar with the delivery service, with their package tracking, how innovative that was to be able to track where packages were. Then FedEx came along and upped them even better, with even better information about where things stood, so that you could track packages. Now we're starting to see some agreement on paper documents being acceptable for legal proof. In fact, I just did a remote real estate transaction clear across the country, and there was no FedExing or overnighting it. I was emailed a PDF, I printed it out, I signed it, I scanned it, and emailed it back. So the business model bypassed all that because of some very basic technology that just came together. Amazon. Everyone is familiar with Amazon. They took the bookstore business into an online catalog and fulfillment model, then got into all kinds of goods that were put into that same framework, and now is buying space on other planets for real expansion. They continue to do new and innovative things. The list goes on and on. Bottom line, it's more important than ever for the IT side to be able to innovate at the same pace as the business innovates. Otherwise, the IT team becomes a commodity as opposed to a differentiator for the business. But this is not easy. Unless you have a greenfield set of systems, meaning brand new systems, and that's rare, you have legacy code sitting around on legacy infrastructure, and you need to understand what is in there. Could you go to page 4, please? Now, this process diagram, and that's what's on the right, is real from a real customer, and to make it even more spaghetti-like, it's only one of four that describes the enterprise and how the various applications are interconnected and how the workflow flows. So how do you manage this, make it dependable enough to keep the business running and pursue the innovation that the business is demanding? Answer is, you really have to take a service-centric approach with the visibility and manageability into that infrastructure so you can see it. Next page, please. Thank you. On this page, this is the service cycle you need to be able to perform in, and we'll walk through it, starting at 12 o'clock on the top. You need to have this visibility into what is happening in the IT infrastructure. So if you move down to 4 o'clock, what does it mean? What does it mean when server X is down? You have to know the implications, or when a disk crashes here, or the network performance is slow, or on and on. You have to see what those changes you might make or that happen on the system, what that's tied to in terms of the business impact. So the thing I want to underline here is the business to IT relationship is key. Think of this with and without that business service level agreement and mapping. Difference is being reactive and missing your targets as an IT organization, or being proactive and being seen as a real part and enabler of the business. Putting redundant servers in around the shipping application, or mirroring the customer database, or upgrading key firmware to hook the guys at the dock to the ships coming in. Really being aligned with the business and what areas are most mission critical. Let's go into each one of these in a little more detail. Could you go to page 6, please? Here we point out the kinds of capabilities you need to have in each of these areas. You can read through them and see how they logically fit into each of these three sections. Does the shipping application, starting on the left side, have the performance it needs during those key times of the day we ship out goods? Maybe it happens on the top of the hour, maybe every 3 hours, but we need to be attuned with when it is really critical that the goods get out the door onto the boats, onto the planes for transportation because they've got a destination and they've got a delivery commitment. Now, the dashboards provides the visibility into that content and allows you to see what is going on. And the dashboard can provide both a business view and an IT view for the appropriate user set. Now, what makes this visible is some of the business service management. It's provided the mapping of the IT infrastructure into the business processes so we can know the implications of change, and they're obvious versus found out too late. The third area tells us what to check and what are corrective actions to take that we can possibly do. Do we provision a new service to address something in the infrastructure, or do we restore data from a previous backup the previous night? What do we do? Next page, please. Now, hopefully, you've addressed some of these things on the other page, both in terms of business agreements between business and IT, process changes, role definitions of who does what, so you know who to call for what type of thing and what to expect in that internal workflow. And hopefully you've addressed that with enabling it with some appropriate technologies that are integrated so they can work across the enterprise and allow departments to share where appropriate and be informed. So you want to get proactive. Now that you're here, you really want to get proactive versus reactive against that infrastructure and any change you need to take on. Because you know you'll be growing or changing your infrastructure because of the pace of technology change and the amount of business requirements coming in. So you need to be able to stay in touch with that. Key point here on this page is we need to pull this all together and manage it in a service management framework that can enable you, the IT side, to be aligned and responsive to the business. This is what we're delivering on today, and you can expect us to stay focused on going forward. Next page. As you speak to your IT client, be it the CIO, chief technology officer, your local help desk, service desk manager, you have to get underneath how they're operating and raise their level of awareness and appreciation of real service management. You basically want to set the ground rules. And here's some questions on this page to start stimulating the conversation so they start thinking about this across all assets, both IT and non-IT, and how they respond to various types of requests and how they can leverage technology to solve it and how they need to re-engineer the way they manage requests and be responsive to the business. At this point, I'd like to turn it over to Gabby Zeiderfeld. Gabby?
Thanks, Tom. So what I'll do is I'll talk to you about this solution, and I'll drill into one of the products that makes up this solution. So let's provide you with a quick overview of what the solution is all about. The solution, let's go to the previous slide real quick. Again, I'm not going to stick strictly to the slides. I'll just talk to some key points. So the solution is the Tivoli Service Request and Asset Management Solution. It basically consists of two products that we've brought together. And why have we done that? We've seen a real business need for the customer to use these products in conjunction. And also when we've been selling this, we've had really great successes selling these into our opportunities. These two products are Tivoli Asset Management for IT and Tivoli Service Request Manager. Tivoli Service Request Manager is the new name for our Service Desk product that was previously called Tivoli Service Desk. And Tivoli Asset Management for IT, as the name obviously implies, is our IT asset management solution. Both products came to IBM through the MRO acquisition. So why did we create it? Why is it worth your while to sell it? Let me talk about that briefly, and then we'll get into some of the other charts. First and foremost, I want to point out to you that you will really find it worth your while to sell this solution. So sell these two products, Tivoli Asset Management for IT and Tivoli Service Request Manager, in conjunction. Now, why is that? Our customers really have a proven business need to use a service desk and IT asset management jointly as a seamless solution, and we'll talk about that in a little while. Companies that are using some of the competitive solutions out there on the market are very dissatisfied and are seriously considering alternatives. We have distinct competitive advantages that allow us to displace competition when we start talking to those companies that are dissatisfied, and we've done it before. To date, we've acquired, I would say, about 80 ITAM customers, IT asset management customers, and about 150 service desk customers. And most of these customers actually use both of the products. So we've noticed that whenever we sell Tivoli Service Request Manager, the service desk product, 60% of the time the sales rep is also selling Tivoli Asset Management for IT in the same transaction. So we think that's pretty compelling. Customers have a need, and there's real sales opportunity. And this solution is all about educating and supporting our sales teams with two products that will give them success. We believe you really sell yourself short if you do not sell these products together. So let's continue. Let's go on to the next slide. Again, I'm not going to cover every detail on these slides. Most of these slides you'll actually find in the playbook, either in a customer-facing presentation or in some other material. And today I'd like to highlight some key points for time's sake. In most organizations, as you see some examples on this slide, slide number 10, in most organizations there's a gap between service and asset management, and this is really hurting the business. Organizations lack visibility on what IT assets they have. And when we talk about IT assets, we mean both hardware and software, and with software, all the complex licensing that goes along with it. And again, hardware can be anything from laptops to servers, routers, switches, but for some companies these are even things like BlackBerries or mobile phones or other pieces of technology. So organizations lack visibility on their IT assets. They don't know what they have, they don't know where it is, who is using it, what it costs, how these assets support the business. And then, worst of all, when it breaks down, they don't really know what's going on and how these incidents and problems need to be resolved, if service level agreements are maybe violated, and who should fix it. So there is a disconnect also between service and asset management that's kind of aggravating that problem even more. Let's go to the next slide, please. And I do apologize for some of the slides that follow. We noticed that in the e-meeting tool, not all of the builds appear properly. So we do recommend that maybe you download the slide deck from the website that you were pointed to register for this event so you can see the builds yourself. Service requests that occur on IT assets are commonly handled by a service desk solution. And service desk agents, you know, handle these service requests. They take them in, you know, sometimes referred to as trouble tickets. They can return these into incidents and problems. And in most companies, processes and tools that they use to manage service requests and to manage their IT assets operate in silos. And if they these tools are at all integrated, it is often at a very basic level or even in a clunky fashion. And most organizations, these two functions do not work together smoothly. Next slide, please. Our key competitors in this in these markets are more or less the usual suspects, HP, BMC, CA, and also, to a certain extent, Alteryx. They also offer solutions to manage service requests and IT assets. And many of their customers are actually experiencing problems with these products. It's not necessarily always about a feature-function comparison. Some of these products have been in the market for quite a while, and in terms of capability, for the most part, all of these products, IBM products, HP BMC products, for the most part, they deliver the same capabilities. But as part of a larger end-to-end service management story, and in terms of managing these systems, implementing them, there are some distinctions, and we have some competitive advantages that we'll highlight for you. And for organizations using competitive solutions, their customers are experiencing real problems that allow us to come in and displace these solutions. For example, certain products, such as, for example, BMC and HP, they are based on older proprietary technology. And making changes to some of these older technologies to, for example, customize workflow or the user interface, reports and such, making those changes requires custom coding. And this is manual, time-consuming, and very expensive. And then after that, most customers get into trouble because their solutions are so heavily customized, and they find themselves in a situation that we often refer to as version locked. They might want to upgrade to a next version of that product to, for example, get new functionality, or maybe they have to upgrade because the vendor is dropping support for the version that they're currently on, but they can't really do it. They're so heavily customized that upgrading would be more or less a rip and replace of the system, and it would require them to redo all of their customizations, which most of the time is cost prohibitive. And in these situations, this is where we find that the customers put the solution out to bid again, and we come in. We have numerous examples of where customers put the solution out for bid, and we came in and managed to displace competition. Next slide, please. Our solution brings together, and this is again is a slide that doesn't build well in the e-meeting, so apologies for that. But our what we wanted to point out here is that our solution brings together the IT asset management and service desk function as a unified solution on a common platform, enabling these functions to work together seamlessly, more than just in an integrated fashion. So here we're not talking about an integration of two different products. More or less, these operate on the same platform and are one in the same product environment. And I'll provide you a little bit of detail as we go forward. Let's go to the next slide. So in order for a service manager, in order to achieve, you know, optimal service management, in order to get the best service management possible, the IT asset management and service desk functions do need to work together seamlessly in an organization. And here you can see a Gartner quote. I'm not going to read it out for you, but a Gartner quote and a quote from one of our customers that underlines this point. Go to the next slide. Many competitive solutions for IT asset management and service desk integrate poorly, and this causes customers major headaches, such as unclear ownership of tasks. Things get thrown over the fence from one group to another without any clear handoffs. And as you can imagine, that results in poor communications. And furthermore, because there is inaccurate or maybe incomplete data, it slows down service management processes in these different groups. So there's all kinds of organizational types of struggles that these companies that use a lot of the competitive solutions find themselves in. And the products that make up our solution offer distinct competitive advantages. Tivoli Asset Management for IT and Tivoli Service Request Manager come to IBM through the MRO acquisition. And at the time when it was under MRO ownership, these were Maximo branded. And some of you might have heard of the Maximo technology or the Maximo platform. So these two products that make up this solution are built on the Maximo platform. They are not two distinct technologies that are integrated in a clunky fashion at best. It's more than just an integration. These products are on the same code base. They require only one install. They share a single UI, a single data layer, a common workflow engine. So they are truly a unified solution on a common platform. And furthermore, and this talks to some of the challenges that companies faith when they're using competitive solutions. More importantly, these products come with built-in configuration tools that allow you to make changes to the UI, workflow, reports, etc. on the fly. So no custom coding is required. You can easily make these changes with drag-and-drop actions in these configuration tools. And then best of all, these configurations are maintained when you upgrade to the next version of the product. So using this solution, customers do not find themselves in that version lock situation. Configurations upgrade along, so it's not a rip and replace of the system. And then another important thing to point out, last but certainly not least, our products are built on a modern state-of-the-art technology. They're web architected, supporting J2E, XML, web services, service-oriented architectures. They're very different than some of the older technologies that BMC and HP are supporting that are frankly reaching end of life. So we have, I realize this is a very brief overview, but in the sales playbook you'll find a lot more detail. We have distinct competitive advantages with our solution that enable us to displace competition. So let's go to the next slide. The last slide in this section of the presentation wraps this up and describes from a functional perspective how service efficiency is increased when a service desk technician has access to IT asset data. So let me just give you a simple example. You know, why is it important that service desk and IT asset management work together seamlessly? Very simple example. I have a laptop and it's causing problems. What do? I call the help desk. Now, when the help desk agent has immediate access to my employee information, what type of IT assets are under my ownership and how those are configured, it can help them expedite the handling of my service request greatly. So it helps them enhance service level agreements. It helps them reduce the mean time to repair on any problems. And these are key metrics to a service desk. And then when you think about giving the service desk access to procurement or inventory or contract data related to assets, you can imagine that it will help them do their job a lot better. So that's just a functional example of how products should work together and the benefits it provides the customer. So let's look at some of the next slides, and we'll spend a few minutes looking at one of the products that makes up this solution. Someone who's not on mute is breathing into their microphone, and we can hear some residual noise. So anyone who has an open line, if you could mute your phone, that would be great. Thank you. So Tivoli Asset Management for IT, our IT asset management product. Why is it that organizations need IT asset management? We believe that any somewhat sizable organization, and when we say sizable organization, we're talking about 1,000 employees and up. Every sizable organization has a need to manage their hardware and software assets so they can better control their IT budget, so their IT cost, and they can also manage the compliance risks associated with their IT assets. So when we talk about compliance risk, it can be software license compliance or even regulatory compliance. And by better understanding your IT assets, you can make sure that you're delivering the best quality of service in your organization. So IT asset management is all about understanding what IT assets you have, where they are in the organization, who uses them, how they support the business services that IT delivers, and what they cost. So cost and financial management is a key aspect within the practice of IT asset management. Forrester told us, the analyst agency, told us the other day that for large organizations, and in their definition that's $1 billion in turnover and higher, for large organizations, 60% of them have IT asset management tools in place today. And Forrester sees IT asset management is the largest growth segment in the system management market. So there's many, many more opportunities for us to go back to our customer base and talk to them about IT asset management and about the service desk that work together hand in hand. IT asset management, as we stated earlier, is all about tracking and managing the IT assets through their life cycle and managing all the processes associated with it. This slide illustrates some of the capabilities in our current release of the product, but for time's sake, actually, let's go to the next slides to have a look at what IT asset management does, so what is it all about. As we stated earlier, IT asset management is about managing hardware and software assets through their life cycle in an efficient and cost-effective manner. That's kind of the statement that you see on the slide here as well. This slide illustrates the different phases of that asset life cycle. So we're going to look now quickly at each of these phases to give you an overview of what's involved in each step of the way. So in the plan phase, this is where organizations make strategic and financial IT asset management decisions. So this is the time when a company, for example, formulates an IT budget, and they might associate a certain schedule for hardware and software acquisitions to that budget. As you can imagine, when organizations have accurate asset data, it can support the IT budgeting and accounting cycles, and that's where it enables the IT organization to align their budget with the asset requirements of the business, so they can make sure to plan purchases and acquisitions of assets with what the business actually defines that they need. In this planning phase, in this plan phase, a company will also determine appropriate hardware and software for new initiatives, such as new projects or new hires and acquisitions. So a good example is actually when IBM acquired MRO. We all had Dell laptops. So when our organization of about 1,000 employees got acquired by IBM, within a very short time frame, we were all running Lenovo ThinkPads. And you can just imagine the cost and the planning involved with that. Also determining what type of job roles need what type of machine. You know, a software engineer will certainly have a different type of laptop than the marketing intern has. So all of that needs to be managed. And guess how companies do that? They do that using IT asset management systems. Think about the cost involved with that. Think about the contract that IBM has with Lenovo for these type of machines. All these considerations take place in the IT asset management organization using these type of products. Also in planning phase, companies determine technology refresh cycle. So for example, maybe a company decides that every employee gets a new laptop after 3 years. That needs to be planned for and needs to be budgeted for. And also, companies do analysis to determine whether or not it's more cost-efficient to lease certain machines than to purchase them. So that all gets done in this planning phase. Next slide, please. We're on slide 22, by the way, in the acquire phase. And this is where IT organizations look also at their inventory and how their assets are being used. So they might be able to determine if there is an unutilized asset, so something that's not being used at all, or that's only occasionally being used, and companies can make determinations that that particular asset, let's say that server, is better redeployed elsewhere to be more efficient in terms of usage. So you might be able to redeploy underutilized assets rather than buying a new machine. So these type of activities prove tremendous cost savings for companies. In the acquire phase, this is where you purchase and receive your assets. There's a procurement process, including, you know, purchase order approval that needs to be in place to expedite and control purchasing of the asset. This is where the asset gets received on the receiving dock, so physically bringing the asset into the organization. That's when you check it against the invoice to make sure you're being billed correctly by the vendor, and then you reconcile the invoice with the PO and with the contracts that you have with the vendor. So financial management and contract management and procurement management, as well as inventory management, are all key aspects of IT asset management. And you can imagine that this touches different sides of the organization as well. It's not just about the IT asset manager that you're selling to. You're also selling to the procurement people, to the contract people, to the inventory people, to the finance people. They're all going to be users of your IT asset management system. So in the next stage, or in the next phase, we're looking at slide 23, the deploy phase. This is where asset records are created in the IT asset management system. So physical assets, let's say a laptop, they get tagged and they get assigned to, for example, an employee or a project or a business unit. Employee information can be brought in through HRFPs, and we provide all kinds of integrations to all kinds of ERP systems to bring your IT asset management system together with your business system applications. And in this phase, this is where the IT Asset Management Group also communicates with the users of the IT asset to ensure a smooth deployment. The service desk might be brought in here to generate service tickets for the technician, or provisioning software might be used to provision and configure the assets during deployment. And then the next slide 24, in the manage phase, this is where companies often do their asset reconciliation. And asset reconciliation is all about analyzing and looking at and analyzing what is discovered by your discovery tools and what has been authorized or purchased in the organization. And very often there's discrepancies, and that helps you determine if maybe an asset has been lost or stolen, or maybe it did not get installed. Maybe it's unauthorized, maybe some kind of maverick purchase by someone in your organization, or maybe a simple data entry mistake has been made in your system. That all needs to be reconciled, because if you don't have accurate records, this could prove to be a compliance violation. So it's more than just about tracking and cost, it's also about compliance. IMAC, installs, moves, add changes. They need to be recorded, and that all gets done in this phase. And also in the manage phase, software asset costs are managed through software license compliance. So it's not just about your hardware assets, it's also about your software assets and all the complex licensing that comes along with it, and making sure that you properly track and manage all of that. And then last but not least, the last slide I'll talk about is the retire phase in IT asset management. And that's when an asset has reached its end of life. And in that example of the laptop that we used earlier, when a laptop based on the technology life cycle that you have set up in your organization, so let's say the 3 years are up and a laptop has reached its end of life, you don't just throw it in the trash, right? Organizations have many end-of-life options, and they need to strategically plan for these in order to make sure that they adhere to all kinds of corporate and regulatory requirements. First of all, you need to make sure that the asset is cleaned, because when you dispose of the asset, you sure as hell want to make sure that none of the data that's on those machines gets to the outside world, because there's a lot of proprietary information that resides on these machines. And then you can maybe dispose of them, and there's all kinds of environmental regulations for that. Maybe you auction them off. Maybe you donate them to a charity. Maybe you have an employee purchase program where they can sell them at greatly reduced prices. And if it's a leased asset, you need to return it to the leasing company, or you might purchase it from the leasing company. But there's all kinds of processes involved with that. All of this needs to be tightly monitored and also needs to be verified. So at the end of all of that, the asset end-of-life information is provided to the IT finance group so they can do proper accounting, and also for tax purposes and write-offs. This is all quite critical. So IT financial management comes into place here. So last but not least, the last thing I wanted to state is that obviously our Tivoli Asset Management for IT product supports all the lifecycle management processes that I just highlighted in the previous slide. So basically this is what our product does. It allows companies to do all these activities that we highlighted on the previous slide. So I hope this gives you a good overview of what this product does, and now I'll hand it over to Norm for the next section. So Norm, go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you, Gabby. Okay, I'm going to be talking a little bit about Tivoli Service Request Manager. It was formerly the Tivoli Service Desk. And a little bit about the Service Desk. It touches all the service management processes. And as such, it becomes a very critical operation within both IT and the business. It's needed, the Service Desk is needed to manage your day-to-day activities, day-to-day IT operations, and we're seeing a lot of companies and a lot of interest in our Service Request Manager. So what does a Service Desk do? It is, and IPL defines it as such, the single point of contact between IT and the business or the users. We want to be able to deliver high-quality support through the Service Desk to achieve our business goals. We want to identify lower cost of ownership for IT services as a whole. And one of the ways we do this with the Service Desk is every incident really needs to be reported to the Service Desk. Chances are they have seen it before, or they will see it again. So if they can have a competency that can solve these problems, if that all those problems are funneled into one area, they can solve it once and deploy the solution to the customers, rather than having all the individual customers fighting with the same problem and every single customer solving that same problem. So it just provides some scales of economy there. We want to support changes across the business and technology. We want to use this to aid in user retention and employee satisfaction, and we want to use this the data that's collected with the service desk to identify perhaps new business opportunities. Now, I look at this diagram here, and there's a number of different ways we can interface with the service desk. I prefer to interface using initially email. That usually gets me to level 2 support. I've described to them, okay, everybody tries something. So I usually indicate here's what I've done, and then they pass that knowledge on to a service desk representative to say, okay, this is beyond our capability, or here's what you really need to do to fix the problem. So, just being able to record those incidents provides immense value to the business. Next slide, please. So, every business needs a service desk. Really, what we're looking at here is specialization of labor. We want to have those experts solving all the problems. We want all those problems funneled into the same area so we only solve them once. And this does really give the enterprise or the company a competitive advantage. Some of this is repetitious. We have customer retention, satisfaction. We optimize the service, IT service to the company. We perform that in the most efficient way possible. We've aligned IT to the business. They know what the business knows where to come to with their IT issues and problems. We have organizational efficiency, cost reduction, and lastly, around service level agreements. We need to be able to understand how IT services the business. And if there is a critical server that's required for sales, we may want to, that server may not be allowed to be down longer than 15 minutes. So the service desk needs to understand what those service level agreements are so that they can ensure that the IT resources are available when they're needed. Next slide, please. Okay, some of the key features and benefits of Service Request Manager. It's designed for incident problem management. It's got powerful workflows that basically do customer relationship management. It allows for complete and accurate flow of information for quick resolution to a particular problem. It allows users to proactively address their own issues with self-service. It allows them access to knowledge bases to help them solve their own problems if that's the way they choose to do it. We have built-in solutions. I talked to you before about having a repository. Well, these solutions are built into this solution repository that allow a service desk representative to look back and do incident matching on previous and current tickets to see how was this solved before, so that they're not resolving the same problem. It has role-based key process indicators. There's interactive workflows, escalation management, so that if we have to go from level 2 to level 3 support, it has a process for doing that. If the management needs to be informed, there's the hierarchical escalation pathways to inform the management team that a problem is being looked at. Lastly, there's a flexible configuration tools, and this is very powerful because each service desk representative can then customize it for their particular environment. So if they're supporting a Windows-based environment, they can customize their user interface just for that Windows-based environment. If they're supporting AIX, they can customize it for that AIX environment that they support. So they it allows them to be a lot more efficient in their job. Next slide, please. Continuing on with the features and benefits, workflow or work management. If there is a break fix or if there is a problem and you have to deploy people to fix that problem, we can deploy the right personnel with the right skills and the right equipment at the right time. So being able to manage that workflow or the work effort through the tool is very, very powerful as well. Dashboards. We have real-time dashboards that communicate information so that if there's a router down in Building 901, it allows the users in 901, hey, there's a problem, it's being worked on, and we anticipate that it will be up in an hour's time. Email listeners, ticket templates, it saves a lot of time by populating a ticket with the user information and all of the standard information that goes with a particular asset or a particular user that gets pre-populated into the ticket templates. And then bulletin boards provide their real-time message display. Next slide, please. So why IBM Service Request Manager? Gabby talked about this a little bit briefly. It provides a path for upgrade, not only within the IBM Tivoli Service Request Manager suite, but we're also looking at a way to upgrade from your legacy service desk. So if you have BMC, or if you have BMC Remedy, or you have a HP Peregrine, we're going to provide a mechanism to provide easy upgradability through those pathways as well. It's a unified platform with the enterprise asset management, IT asset management, service desk, and CCMDB. We have a unified platform. All those products work well together. There's ease of configuration. There's built-in configuration tools. We talked about that briefly, about customizing the user interface. And this is the next one here, the IT corporate service desk and IT service desk. Most people are operating, or most corporations are operating more than one service desk, and that's very, very cost-effective, or it's cost-prohibitive, really. It costs a lot of money to run different processes, different tools, any additional training that's associated with it. So anytime you can consolidate your service desk, there's significant cost savings. I think Gabby mentioned it's based on J2E and Advanced Business Process Management. It was built on ITIL from the ground up. It was not retrofitted. And again, it supports the breadth of the IT service management offering. It leverages that unified platform. Next slide, please. So here's how you can win in this market. When you're talking to your customers, try and understand their problems. We want to understand those companies that are looking to upgrade and understand their current pain points. We're going after those dissatisfied customers that are looking for something better. We want to target organizations that have more than one service desk that want to consolidate, so they get the cost savings on education and maintenance and all the different pricing and costs associated with operating multiple service desks. We want them to consolidate to one. We want there's a unified solution for asset and service desk capabilities. Gabby's touched upon that. I just want to kind of hurry through this for time's sake. I know we're running a little short for questions. And we do have a rich suite of products for customer that wants to do their whole ITIL initiative, their end-to-end service management on ITIL processes. We've talked about a few of the ITIL processes here, but the service management platform, we're touching on the building block here. We can implement or integrate all of the other IBM service management processes on this platform. And then we'll be offering a larger service management solution with Service Request Manager that captures the service desk. We touched upon it briefly, but the service desk and the single point of contact is going to expand to the service catalog capabilities as well. So if you hear your customer talking about service catalog, that is something that's going to be available early next year. So if you're hearing that, you know, that is going to be part of Service Request Manager in the very near future. So I think that comes to the end of Service Desk. I've kind of rushed through here a little bit, but if you have any questions, you can reach me by email, and we're going to provide that information at the back of the presentation. So thank you, and I'll pass it on to Fran.
Hi, my name is Fran Polinek, and I'm going to take us now to slide 34, and we're going to talk briefly about where all of the assets for this solution are stored. So the Tivoli Knowledge Center is the partner portal where all of Tivoli's key assets are posted, specifically playbooks. So on slide 35, we talk about playbooks here and what they are, just as a reminder. These are your most valuable assets in terms of getting all available information for a particular solution. They're organized to align with the sales cycle, specifically identification of an opportunity, qualification of an opportunity, proposal, and then win and support. So on slide number 36, we're showing you that we have a playbook that has been created for this solution. These are some of the specific assets for our solution for the service request and asset management playbook. And the link that is on this slide will take you directly into the playbook on the Tivoli Knowledge Center. So you are welcome to use this content, and we would very much like to have your feedback from the use of these assets and how you found them in your different opportunities. And if you have suggestions for future content, we would also welcome that as well. So that will take us to slide number 37, where we also want to remind everyone that these products that we've been discussing today in the solution, the combination of these, are now in Passport Advantage. And that is the link that will take you to them in Passport Advantage. So now, moving on to slide number 38, I'm going to turn this back over to Tom Davis. Thank you.
Thanks, Fran. Everything we've talked about today is on the truck, especially as we are in the last week of the third quarter. It's on the truck, as Fran mentioned, in Passport and FCT, and hopefully we've built you the right kind of valuable sales aids within the Tivoli Knowledge Center, and we will be enhancing them. So please let us know what you think you need and give Fran that kind of feedback so we can help make you more effective as you take these solutions out to the marketplace. Another point is, let's make sure we set the stage with the customers that you have around the service management strategy, and don't let the competition do it. We've got some key differentiators. We've got the strategy. We've got the portfolio. We've got the customer set, the customer references, the deliverables to really support you being effective out there. I'd also ask you to take 2 minutes, hopefully you're not running off to another call or meeting right away, to browse the Tivoli Knowledge Center, and once again, give Fran some feedback. At this time, I'd like to just thank all the presenters and thank you for your interest and to be available and for this forum. And we'd like to field any questions now or after the call via the emails provided here on the next page. Angelina, can you get us started with the first question?
Yes, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you're on a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And once again, that is star 1 if you do have a question at this time. And it appears we have no questions by phone.
Great. Then we'll wrap it up, and thank you for your time, and look forward to working with you going forward. Have a great day.
That does conclude today's program. We appreciate your participation and have a wonderful day.